You're listening to the Flip Houses Like a Girl podcast, where we educate, empower, and celebrate everyday women who are facing their fears, juggling family and business, embracing their awesomeness, and wholeheartedly chasing their dream of flipping houses. Each episode delivers honest-to-goodness tools, tips, and strategies you can implement today to get closer to your first or next successful house flip. Here's your spiky-haired, breakfast taco-loving host, house flipping coach, Debbie DeBeery.
Hey there. Thanks for hanging out with me today. You're going to love this podcast interview I did with one of my students who completely crushed her first flip. I cannot wait to share all the details with you. But most importantly, it is proof that yes, you absolutely can use zero of your own money and flip houses. You absolutely can. I'm not lying when I say it. I know it feels kind of, it can feel a little scammy, right? Hearing people say, especially like the big gurus, other people's money, using OPM. I know that it can sound scammy. It feels scammy. I get it. The fact is that it is true and it's possible. It's the way I've always flipped houses is by using other people's money. It's how I teach the women in my program to do it. And it's how Elizabeth O'Brien did her first flip in Nashville. All right. So whatever preconceived notions you have of what it takes to flip houses successfully, how much money you have to have, anything else you think you have to have first, let's leave those at the door for a minute, okay? And just listen. Be open to hearing a different way of doing things than what you may believe is possible, okay? Because if we aren't open to hearing and seeing other possibilities, I don't know. It's kind of a boring life. Anyway, let's jump into this conversation with Elizabeth. Jump in and like just start and introduce yourself and let us know where you are and a little bit of your background.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, let's go.
So I'm currently living in Nashville and about to be moving to Texas, but I found you because I actually was on looking for podcasts, and I had just typed in, I think, you know, real estate, women. I was trying to find women because I know it's a very male dominated industry. Yeah. And, you know, saw this little flip houses like a girl, and I was like, oh, let me check that out. So that's kind of how I found you, was actually through the podcast first, and then, you know, heard about your mentorship program. So that's how I came to you. Yeah. And just had to, and I said, you know, I'm going to either think about it or I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. I love that. And I'm hearing that more, that women are finding the podcast first, which is so cool. So mm-hmm. cool. I love it. And now you're on it, and that's super exciting. And we've come full circle. okay, where are you located again?
I'm in Nashville currently, and about to be moving my whole family to the DFW area.
Yeah. And what did you have real estate background? You know, a lot of women think they have to have like some sort of experience when they get in. It's like, oh, well, I don't have any experience at all. And well, we all start at, we don't have any experience at some, like everyone at some point has had zero experience.
Yes.
So did you have any?
I have no experience. I came from massage therapy industry, which is very different. And I had no experience. I have always kind of loved real estate. I've been one of those people that loves to just get on and see what's selling, and you know, I've kind of, you know, a HGTV lover, of course. And, yeah. You know, always thought, oh, I want to do that one day. I want to do that one day. So yeah, zero experience, no experience in the industry of real estate as a whole. But just, you know, always had an interest for sure.
Yeah. I love that you come from massage therapy background, like, and you've been loving houses. I know we all have that common thread where it's not just that we like houses. We're kind of obsessed. Like,
exactly.
We're kind of obsessed. Like, we're so ultra curious about houses. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good kind of obsession to have, mm-hmm. but it's definitely a common theme I hear. Okay. So you decided you were going to start flipping houses and mm-hmm. you joined the program, and let's talk about your first flip that you just finished and sold.
Okay.
Okay. So how did you find it?
Okay. So it's actually across the street from my home, and I live on the corner of a cul-de-sac. We have a really cool dynamic with my neighbors. They're awesome. We all hang out. We play cornhole. It's great. There was this particular adorable little house that, when I purchased my home 5 years ago, was occupied by an old man. I'm not sure if he had Alzheimer's or dementia. He really shouldn't have been living alone. But he lived there, and it was just this cute little house. He eventually passed away, and his family inherited it. And in 2019, my neighbor who lives across from me the other direction is 92 now, and he walks himself over there, pays cash for the house, and buys it from the man's family. So I, at that time, was like, man, I should have bought that house, but I didn't know at the time how to do that. You know, I'm thinking, I didn't know about, you know, other people's money. That term was not something that I really had a concept about. So I missed out on the opportunity then.
Yeah.
So fast forward a year, my neighbor who purchased the home had it as a rental. He had tenants move out. He kind of had a bad situation with that. He was kind of just done with the house, and I'm feeling terrible for him because he's the sweetest neighbor. Mm. And I'm feeling terrible for him. I'm asking him, you know, do you want to just get another renter in there, or do you want to sell it? And he's like, no, I'm done with this house. I just want to sell it. And I wish I had pictures. I should ask him for pictures. But he, when those tenants moved out, he has a lady that cleans his house. He sent her over there to clean it out. There were 40 bags of trash on the first day, just that bad. And we all knew something wasn't right, but they were very kept to themselves. And it was so weird because it was completely different than the dynamic of all of the rest of the houses in the cul-de-sac. So it was one of those things. I felt terrible for him. He had completely gotten taken advantage of. And, you know, it was just sad. They're the sweetest neighbors, and he just got taken advantage of. So I kept telling him, I said, you know, let me buy it. And he was like, okay. And he said, well, I'm not in a hurry. I just want to, you know, this and that. He put new floors in it because the carpet that was in there had gotten ruined, obviously, from mounds and mounds of trash. And then I did one kind of little quick masterclass about real estate investing. And then I was listening to your podcast a lot. And then I said, you know what, if I'm going to get this house, I need to get my ducks in a row. You know, I was like, I need to figure out how to make this happen.
Yes.
If I'm gonna do it, because he wasn't in a hurry, as he said. And then I signed up for your mentorship, barely even got the modules because I signed up right before Christmas. So it was kind of this weird time where there was a little bit of a break, and barely even got the modules. And I already had an accepted offer. And I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing, but I have an accepted could offer.
I love it. I remember this. Yeah.
So I did it backwards. Instead of listening to the modules, I was like,
okay, now let's figure it out.
All of a sudden he was in a hurry. He was telling me, I'm not in a hurry. And so I was like, oh good. Maybe this will give me some time to get these modules kind of figured out so I can know what I'm doing a little bit. And then all of a sudden he's like, I'm about to put a for sale by owner sign out there. I'm like, no. Wait, no, me.
What's happening?
I'm buying it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm your buyer.
And no, sir, stop. Whatever you're doing, just stop.
Slow down. You said you weren't in a hurry.
Right. What's happening, man?
So yeah, he was, his wife's health isn't doing great. And that's so right. I think it kind of was one of those situations where suddenly he needed the money out of the house. And so that was what kind of got him to be in a distressed place with it.
Well, I think that's such an important point though. Like, just because the person isn't ready immediately, don't just stop communicating with them, because you have no idea when that switch is going to be flipped. And all of a sudden they're like, no, I'm going to sell now. And they're putting a sign in the freaking yard. And you're like, no, wait, we're not putting signs in yards. I've got this. Exactly. I mean, really, that's such a good thing. That's a really important point for people to get. Like, yes, just because it's not an immediate, oh yes, great, let's sell today, don't lose touch with that person. Like, follow up. That's where people lose the deals, is in the follow up, because they don't follow up. They want that instant yes. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you. Okay, awesome. So then all of a sudden he's ready to sell yesterday. Yes. And then what happens?
So New Year's Eve, actually. So he's really sweet, but he was so distressed with his wife's health that his niece actually owns a mortgage company. So she said, you know, I'm going to kind of help you with the whole transaction of selling it, whether it was me or whoever. She volunteered to kind of help him out. And she told him that he needed to ask more money for it. And so I ended up paying a little bit more for it than what he had originally told, but it was, at the end of the day, it was all fine. But I was like, man,
right, lady, stop talking.
So she was really sweet, but she, kind of handled, you know, doing a promissory note, all that kind of good stuff. So, I actually was talking to her and got an accepted offer on New Year's Eve, verbal accepted offer.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But in the process of trying to actually get something signed and written of an offer, it took like a week, because he doesn't do email. You know, she was driving things over. She lives 40 minutes from us. So that was definitely nerve-wracking, because I'm like, I know he said with, you know, she said with her mouth anyway, and he was kind of just going to be on board with whatever she had, you know, agreed with. And so we finally got a written, you know, accepted offer. And then, you know, that makes my timeline a little bit more. Well, I've not even really gotten into the modules. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have no team. But I mean, I had not called any hard money lenders. I had not contacted any contractors. I'm literally going 90 miles an hour trying to pull this together. And I'm like, I don't know if it's going to happen. You know, are we going to be able to close? And so I found actually a hard money lender, and then I got the deal analyzer, and I put in the quotes that I'd gotten from, I had two contractors that had come out and given me quotes on the work. And one guy was more of kind of a handyman, because the house, because he had put new floors in and he had had this woman in there cleaning it up for a couple of months, it wasn't in dire condition when I got it. I knew that it was going to be a little more cosmetic, because the house was in good condition. It just had been dirty and he had already done a lot of the cleaning. So I was going to be mostly just updating finishes. So we got a couple quotes. And when I put the larger one into the deal analyzer, and then added in all of the hard money. And the hard money lender that I found was a really great guy. He's local to Nashville. He has a great reputation.
Love it.
But once you add in, you know, origination fees and draw fee, blah, 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 all these things, I was looking at the numbers and I was like, this deal doesn't make sense. Like, I'm going to be upside down. And what the ARV was at the time was, you know, I was like, I have $5,000 of a buffer that I can't, I'm scared that I'm going to be upside down on this, you know? Yeah. And, so I kind of was like, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
So I went with the guy who gave me the lower bid.
Okay.
And that also was for the financing said, you know what, why don't I just ask? Because my neighbor knows me and I know he bought it cash. So he has no mortgage on it. And so I said, you know what, why don't I just ask? You don't know if you don't ask. And I said, would you consider doing owner financing, seller financing? And I will give you, and I offered him a 4% interest. I was like, you'll get your money back. We'll do a 4-month timeline. So I'm pushing myself. I've got to get it done.
I love the way you work. You're like, I'm just going to put all these tight, like, restrictions around everything. And then I'm just going to go in and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to figure out and I'm going to get it done. I love it. It's kind of like you force yourself to jump. There is.
I, you know, prior to being a massage therapist, I did event planning and coordinated weddings and, you know, business meetings, all kinds of things like that. And so you kind of just learn that you have to just kind of get out there to the ledge. You look over and you go, oh, that's scary. Here I go.
Yeah, you really do. You really do. And trust yourself that you'll figure it out.
I knew I had to get that house.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And I totally get that. There have been many times where it's like, there's something pulling me to a house, even if like the numbers aren't awesome. It's not a slam dunk per se, but there's something pulling me to a house. Mm-hmm. And so I totally get that. Okay. So you decide, were you nervous asking him or were you just like, whatever, all he can say is no.
I mean, I knew he wasn't going to hate me if I asked him that, you know, I mean, I was like, you know, he's my sweet neighbor. He buys my daughter yard sale stuff all the time, you know,
and it's more money to him in the long run anyway, or in the short run, really in 4 months, he's going to get more money. Okay. Awesome. So you ask and
they say, yeah. Okay.
Did you ask him or did you have to go, were you still going through her?
I talked to her. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was talking to her. She said, you know, I'll talk to him and see. And so because of that, it ended up pushing our closing date back a little bit. They did agree and they agreed to the 4% that I offered. And I was like, I can't, I'm just, you know, I mean, for him it's extra money. And right. For me, I just was like, I can't believe it worked out.
It made the deal work up front. Right. Yes. Now it's like, oh, okay. It's not just a $5,000 profit margin anymore. Now it's like, okay, I can breathe. I can actually mm-hmm. do this project and breathe some. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love this story. Okay. So he ends up owner financing it.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you, okay. So then when you're plugging in the numbers with the less expensive contractor and with him financing, then it looks better.
I'm assuming. Okay. Right. Yes. So then I'm like, okay, that's, you know, doable.
Okay.
I have a little wiggle room in case anything surprises come up.
Yep.
And I had asked him if we could just pay all of it in on the sale end. So I'm not paying any monthly interest. And so I'm not paying any monthly interest and, you know, I had calculated up my rehab costs and my friend who is my realtor who ended up selling it, he told me about a program where you can get a loan through his brokerage and it's a 0% loan to do rehab.
Is this Compass?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like the concierge thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So he tells me about that. I'm like, great, I'm going to do that. Wait. But you have to close on it first. Okay.
Wait a second. You use their concierge service for a flip?
No.
Okay.
I thought I was going to.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking I'm set up for the rehab part. We close same day that we close on the house. I go and fill out my application since technically I own the house now. And they deny me because I'm a business. And I'm like, oh, and he goes, oh my gosh, I didn't know, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
Oh, so, <God. laughs>
so, you know, I'm like, okay, now I need money. So that's when I came to the group and said, help, I'm already closed and I need money for the rehab.
Oopsies.
Yeah. So then, you know, actually through the group, a wonderful, amazing, awesome group of women, love it. There was someone that there, she's actually not in the group, but a private lender who was connected to me through someone in the group.
Awesome.
And then she, you know, it took like a couple of weeks to get the money because not because of the lender herself, but because the title company, I don't know why she was taking so long to just do this promissory note. And so it took forever for me to actually get the money.
Oh gosh.
And,
yeah, 2 weeks is a long time.
You know, yeah, it was so weird how long it took, but so basically I was like, well, if I'm going to keep this guy, I have to get this guy started. If he's going to stick around, you know, I've got to get him going. So I actually just pulled out two 0% APR credit cards and was like, I'm starting here and I'll pay myself back when I get the money, and just to keep him getting, you know, going on the project, because I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have the money to get you started and pay you. And so anyway, that's what I did. It's just,
I love it. This is so creative. I mean, look at the way you did this freaking deal. This is amazing. You got it owner financed, you used private money, you also used some 0% credit cards. Like, you did it. So really you were zero of your cash.
Yeah. Yes, right.
None of your own cash.
None at all.
So when I say it's freaking possible, then it is possible. I love it so much.
100%.
This is amazing. This is amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is such a great story. I was pretty sure you got a private loan.
Yes.
But then the credit card stuff, this is awesome. Okay. So I feel like this was a really fast flip.
Yes.
Like, I feel like your contractor, how did you find your contractor, first of all?
So there's a group. So I'm actually in the Donaldson neighborhood of Nashville. It's actually Nashville City Limits, but the neighborhood's called Donaldson. And there's a little Facebook group that
neighborhood group. I love it. I love, you know, little neighborhood groups.
My particular neighborhood has their own one, and then Donaldson as a whole, yes, is a zip code. And so this guy who ended up doing a lot of the work actually lives in my neighborhood, just a little bit further down the road. And, you know, he's the one that I ended up, he was one of the two that I had had come out and give me a bid. And then I found another guy who we ended up doing butcher block countertops. And
yep,
I found a guy who was also in the Donaldson area just through the larger Facebook group. And he came out and did the countertops and backsplash tile and a couple other things. So I had a little bit of, I was sort of GCing it because I had a painter who my realtor recommended to me, who was so awesome to work with. And then, you know, a couple of other guys that did kind of more of the interior repairs.
Awesome.
So,
okay. So What was your initial rehab budget?
Initial rehab was, I thought was going to be 15,000.
Okay.
The other guy had said 30.
Okay.
The one that was more.
Yep.
And that included his like GC charge.
Yep.
And so I said, you know, I work part-time and I live across the street. I can manage subs.
I'm just going to jump. I'm just going to jump again and I'll figure it out. Okay. Okay. So you're managing the project. Okay. So the initial budget from him, the initial estimate was 15, the one you used. Mm-hmm. Did you end up going over?
Yeah. It ended up being 20.
Okay.
So it was, you know, extra little bits of plumbing thing, you know, like the outdoor spigots. This was also in February. So I closed February 1st.
Okay.
And we got that same storm that everybody in Texas got, and we're kind of shut down for like a week, but we luckily had power. And, and the guy who lives in my neighborhood, actually, he builds bikes as kind of a hobby. And so he was out, has like an electric bike that he was riding over.
I love it.
He still did a little bit of work that week. Not as much as we would have gotten done, but you know, we were also just playing in the snow too.
Right. Right. I mean, geez, Louise. Yeah. There was so much snow. It was crazy.
Yes.
Okay. So 20. Okay. So it was 15 and then it went to 20. Okay. Not bad. Okay. What was your purchase price?
Purchase price was $195.
Okay. All right. So how long did you estimate the rehab would take?
Originally, the handyman that had done most of the work, he said, oh, this should be 3 weeks.
Okay.
And it ended up being six, you know.
Okay. Okay.
Double.
Yep.
But still short.
You know what? Hey, right. No, if we're going to double the timeline, let's start with a short one.
Yes.
Right. Like let's not start with a 2 month and then it turns into 4 months. I'm or fine with the 3 months
and turns into a year.
Oh God. Yeah. No, let's not do that. Okay. All right. So when did you list the property?
So February 1st was purchase date. We, I think, listed on March 19th.
Okay.
Technically, but it was Friday night.
Okay.
And then started showings on that Saturday, the 20th, and then did a final bring your final and best by Monday at 6. And, you know, we had a madhouse of showings going that whole weekend. And
that house it was beautiful. Like you did such a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Well, hold on. How did you feel when you put the house on the market? Like, were you just excited or were you nervous? Were you anxious? Were you like, what are people going to think? What were you feeling?
I was feeling a little bit of the having to let go of perfection.
Oh God.
Ooh, that was a hard one because there were so many little things that I didn't get done. It just ran out of time. You know, it's like, okay, the stager is here. I can't still be painting little minuscule details
right. And,
you know, zhuzhing up this or that.
Right.
And I just was like, at the end of the day, it's not going to matter on the final end of the deal. It's not going to be a deal breaker.
I know.
And, you know, it was one of those things. So that was a little bit of it. And then the other bit of it was just excitement. You know, I was mostly excited, but then mostly kind of like, oh, I wish I'd done this. I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have done this. So it was hard to not overdo it, you know, and to kind of, I wanted to build a little built-in bench in the kitchen. Didn't happen.
And it still looked adorable. It wasn't missing anything. Yeah. It's hard. It's so hard. We have a vision. We're like, no, but let's do what's in the vision. And sometimes it's like, this is like, it's not even that this is enough. This is fantastic. Yeah. This is fantastic. Leave it alone.
Yes.
It's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Okay. So you put it on the market and you got a bazillion offers.
Mm-hmm.
And how was the escrow period? Like, was there a lot of repair negotiation? Was it a smooth transaction for the closing? How'd that go?
So I would say pretty smooth. I mean, you know, the offer was, the offer was about 21 over asking with like a $10,000, appraisal gap.
Yep.
Coverage.
Yep.
In the event that the appraisal came in. So that was great. But then when we did the inspection, so the inspection he had put down as a pass or fail, but buying it as is. So during that inspection period, you know, there was things that came up that I knew about and, you know, already, and he's an engineer. And I think he kind of was wanting to just do his due diligence to make sure this wasn't going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. But his agent kept coming back and was like, just so you know, he really loves the house. He really loves the house. Like, just,
oh, good.
Really loves the house. So,
yeah.
So that we wouldn't get the feeling like he's trying to back out of it. He just was kind of wanting to make sure that he was checking out what's going on.
Oh gosh. I totally know that kind of buyer. Oh, I love them to death, but damn, man, sometimes they can be very stressful because it's like, are you happy or not? I don't understand what's happening. So I'm glad that his agent was like communicating and reassuring you. Like, yes. Really, that's so nice. I appreciate that agent for doing that.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. I would say they were great to work with. I mean, as in, you know, the escrow process, and then appraisal came in. You know, it takes much longer than you ever want it to. I'm sitting there, I'm like,
I know. And they're so backed up right now. Like, they've been backed up for a couple of years because of low interest rates and refinances and purchases. I know. It's crazy.
So, you know, we're waiting, waiting, waiting. Oh, it's fine. You know, no big deal. And so we didn't have to worry about any gap coverage. We ended up closing for $10,000 over asking.
Okay.
Because there was a couple things that came up on the inspection that weren't on my inspection. And so I think it was some things because of the work that had gotten done. And so I was like, that's on me. And here's some money back you know, so we did have a little bit of negotiations and I came down a little bit from the original accepted offer, but you know, I felt like it was more, I felt terrible, you know, because there were some things that weren't up to par and it was something that I didn't know until he got it inspected and it was not on my inspection. So it absolutely was because of the work that got done.
Got it.
And so that's kind of where it was. I said, you know, I don't want to give you a house that, you know, isn't up to par.
I love you for that. I love you for that. Yep. It matters, right? Like I don't ever want a buyer to feel like they got screwed, right? Or they got the shorter end of the stick. Like, yeah. I want them to feel like, oh, wow, like that feels awesome. Like, I would absolutely buy from that seller again. And you have to put ego aside a lot of times to do that. And it's hard, but it's like, it feels better. For me, it just feels better doing it that way than being like this hard ass, nope, yeah. I'm being super firm, nope.
It's yes.
Like, sometimes you gotta, I don't know, pick your battles, I guess. But I'm glad you felt good about, I mean, ultimately you have to feel good about how you handled it and you feel good about it. So that's awesome. Okay. What was your original ARV?
Original was 280.
Okay. What did you sell for?
We closed at 310.
Uh-huh.
So we listed at 299.9.
Yep.
when we listed, because there had been a house in the neighborhood that had just sold for over 300. And so we kind of went on a conservative right under 300 to get more buyers in the pool.
Always be under that. Always be under that, like those 50,000 thresholds. Like,
yes,
it's, you're going to get more eyes and it mm-hmm. will get bid up. People think, oh, but then I'm leaving money on the table. No, if you're undervalued, if your property is underlisted, it will get bid up. I promise you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that sounds like a pretty healthy profit.
Yes.
What was your profit?
So, 68,000.
Okay. And when you analyzed it and you had all the things in it, it was like 5,000.
Yes.
You end up doing this deal. You made 68 grand. That was mine. Mine was 67. So yeah. And so that first one, when it's real juicy like that, it's like, oh my gosh, why didn't I do this 15 years ago when I first started thinking about it?
Yes.
And it makes me happier. And I love doing this. Oh my God. That is awesome. All right. Have you celebrated that? Wait, when did y'all close?
April 22nd.
Have you celebrated that? Like, really?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I have. I mean, I was that day kind of, I feel like I was like in shock. I was just like, that happened. That really happened.
So wait a second. It was like a 2.5 month timeline. Okay.
I know.
Wow. 2.5 month timeline, 68 grand. That is just amazing. And there's nothing, it's not like, again, you didn't screw anybody out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You did it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You left the place better. You left that buyer better. Like, yeah, let's keep doing that some more. That feels really good. That's amazing. And, you know, as women, it's really hard for us to celebrate ourselves. We're really good at celebrating other people. Like, oh my gosh, we're everyone's biggest cheerleader, except for ourselves. So maybe something like, even if for me, I'm not somebody that, I don't really buy myself things. I just don't. I buy other people things, but I don't buy myself things. So I've made it a point of when I close a deal, I buy myself something, and it can be like, it can be something stupid. It can be a pair of sneakers or it can be whatever, but I always buy myself something as a, way to go, kid. You done good.
Yeah. So
maybe you can find something like that, that you just do to celebrate yourself. Cause I think it's really important and it's hard, but it's really good practice if we can start doing that.
Is it fair to say I'm buying myself a move to Texas?
That's fair. All right. That counts. That counts. That totally counts. Yeah, that's fair. That's a good celebration. I'll take it.
House in Texas.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That is just, I mean, that, what a fantastic first flip. Congratulations. That's huge.
Yeah. It's definitely surreal.
Yeah, I know. I know it is. And I know it is. My first flip was very similar, and it was fast, and it was like, wait, what just happened? And what? So I get it. I totally get that. Oh, I love this story. I love the way you put this together, the way you put the deal together. You put zero of your own cash into this, and you made 68 grand. Like, it can be done, people. I'm not lying when I say it can be done. This is just awesome. This is such an inspiring story. I cannot wait for people to hear it.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you have anything to add? Was there anything along the way that you wish you had done differently on the flip, or was it pretty smooth, or was it everything?
I learned a lot for sure. A lot of things. Like, I think because it was so fast and I felt like I was not in front of it leading the project. I felt like the project was going and I was running to catch up, because it was just everything sort of felt like it was in front of me and I was trying to hurry and get through modules and learn the things and get all the documents. And so I felt like I was kind of trying to catch up to it.
Yeah.
And I still, it's done and I'm
still catching up. I'm still running behind. Wait, don't leave.
I think, you know, definitely clarification on the scope of practice was something, you know, just there's things I think with like communication, it's always, I hear it a lot with contractors, mm-hmm. just clarifying expectations. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
I think one of the hardest things to find the balance between is being specific on expectations and not micromanaging.
Mm-hmm. It's a
fine, you know, it's hard to mm-hmm. figure that out. And so I think that that is kind of where I probably was like, hey, do a good job. And that's very general, right? You know,
yes.
clean up the mess after you're done.
Yep.
You know, things like that. So
yeah. Yeah.
I think probably going to be something that I'm going to continue to have to figure out. And every person and contractor is different. And, you know, once I get someone that I'm working with more consistently, I'll probably get more into a groove with them and kind of learn how they communicate and what I need to tell them and what I don't. And, you know, those sort of things. So that was definitely a learning curve for me for sure. Also the organization aspect of it, because I did feel behind, I was kind of very much flying by the seat of my pants. And so definitely going forward, I would love to go into it more. With an organized, you know, like a spreadsheet of this is all the scope of practice. These are what we're doing and everything. So, for sure, those are some learning curves that,
yeah.
you know, we got through it though. We did.
But it didn't hold you back. It didn't hold you back. Yeah, there's so much learning in the doing. Like the doing is the most important piece. You're going to learn so much, and every project is going to teach you something different. And then sometimes every project you're going to be taught the same lesson over and over until you freaking get it, like me. And that's the way, when you talk about contractors, that was totally me. It took probably five years, being like, you know, do this, do that, and not being super specific, but then also not following through on consequences I set.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm so excited for you. I'm so happy. Congratulations on an amazing flip. Do you have anything, any parting words that you want to leave or anything you want to say that we didn't cover?
We are much more capable of things than we know. And I think it's just listening to your gut. I knew that if I just got the house, just get it. You know, if I could just figure out how to purchase it.
Yeah.
Then it would work out.
Yes.
And I think, you know, had I not just kind of pushed and leaned in and ran a little faster to catch up.
Yeah.
I would have missed out on a great opportunity.
Yes.
I think it's just, you know, listening to your gut and that you are more capable than you know.
I love it. I mean, absolutely. Trust yourself. Trust yourself. Trust yourself. Trust yourself. Well, that's an awesome way to end the conversation. It's like, I don't know. Yeah, I can't think of anything better. Thank you, Elizabeth. This has been amazing. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. So inspired by you just jumping and doing and going. I love it.
Thank you so much for your guidance.
Of course. Oh my gosh. I love it. I love being part of your journey. Thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome, Elizabeth. I'll see you in the group.
All right.
Bye. Bye. All right. So let's recap this. She used creative buying strategy, She used creative financing. She had zero of her own money in this flip, her very first flip. And in 2.5 months, she had a $68,000 profit. Yes, it is possible. Okay. This is why it's so important to me that we share stories of everyday women who are doing this thing. That's why this podcast, you're not going to hear experts. Expert so-and-so, expert so-and-so at this. It's the same people floating around to the different podcasts, right? It's always the same people. Here's what's inspiring. Everyday women saying they want to do this thing and going out and doing this thing. That's what inspires me. And those are the stories I'm going to continue sharing. I'm so grateful to be part of their journey. It's amazing to watch them grow and change. And even in 2.5 months, they're a different person. And that change, that who you become in the process, is so much more rewarding than that $68,000 profit. All right. If you're sick of sitting on the sideline and not chasing this curiosity you have about renovating houses, and you want a step-by-step approach, and you want hand-holding, and you want daily interaction with me and the incredible community that we've built of Flip Sisters who are doing this thing nationwide, then join the wait list, all right? You'll get an invitation to join us usually within a few days once you join the wait list, all right? It just depends on the timing. So go to firstflipdoneright.com. Get on the wait list, all right? If you keep doing the same things, expecting different results, you aren't going to get those different results. You've got to do other things. Get a plan and implement it, all right? All right, that's it. Go out there, flip houses like a girl, leave people in places better than you find them, and make it a great day. Bye, y'all.